Today we begin a new series of sermons. We're going to be taking a look at the book of Exodus. A wonderful book filled with all sorts of interesting incidences and stories and a lot of things that we're familiar with in a lot of ways. Exodus is one of those books from the Old Testament that we find the stories that speak to us. But as we go through this series of sermons over 6 Sundays, our emphasis is going to be just a little bit different. It isn't going to be so much about talking about the stories that are familiar to us and comfortable to us and that we remember from our Sunday school days, and though we may touch on them, but that's not going to be the primary emphasis that we want to focus in on. What we want to talk about is how Exodus shows us what it means to be followers of God, to do God's work. And that doesn't mean that you know, by the time we're done with this 6-week series, all of you are going to sign up and run off to seminary and follow in Darren's and my footsteps. For one thing, that means Darren and I would be unemployed because you all be there. But how do we do God's work wherever we are in our lives? And what is the value of work in following God with our lives? And so it's going to be slightly different emphasis, and we'll have time in the small groups Monday, Thursday, and Sunday afternoons, Monday night, Thursday night, Sunday afternoon, to kind of talk a little bit amongst ourselves about that topic. But we start today, jumping past the first and second chapters, into the third chapter. And so we'll read the first 12 verses of chapter 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, well, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. May the Lord bless this a portion from His holy word. Moses' life story is one that is familiar to most of us in many ways. It is the story of his rescue from the horrors of the Pharaoh who killed off all the children, all the infants, and how Moses was put into the water and his sister watched and Moses got raised by the Pharaoh's daughter, became the adopted grandson of the Pharaoh and had life really good. And then Moses sees what is being done wrong, sees the oppression of those whom he knew to be his heritage, and he stood up against one of the slave drivers and actually ended up killing him. And because he killed him, he left Egypt and ran out into the wilderness. He gave up his inheritance, gave up the rights and privileges and the wealth and the prestige of being in the Pharaoh's family because of seeing something that was wrong and trying to make it right. And then in the wilderness, he ends up working for his future father-in-law and then his father-in-law as a shepherd out in the hillsides and the countryside. And life is good for him. He's got a nice marriage, a good father-in-law who takes care of him, providing a job for him. And life is good. And then one day he's out there minding his own business, watching this flock of sheep, when he sees the oddest thing. He sees a bush, a plant, a shrub. There's any number of ways of describing it, but he sees this bush burning, but the bush is not being consumed. What should be killing it and taking it down is not. And so he hears this voice of an angel, and then he goes over to the bush, and as he's approaching the bush, out of curiosity, I mean, like any of us, you see something strange, you see something different, and you go toward it. That's all he was doing. You know, being a shepherd, there's not a whole lot of interesting things going on. So if something interesting happens, you're on it. And so he goes over because it's piqued his curiosity, it's broken the spell of boredom of being a shepherd, and he goes over to the bush, and as he's approaching the bush, he hears the very voice of God. Now, personally, I see a burning bush that's not being consumed. I hear the voice of God speaking to me from that bush. I'm not going any further. As a matter of fact, I don't run very often, but that would be one of the times when I would actually run. But Moses listened to the voice of God and heard God's proclamation to him, heard God speak to him and say, here's what's going to happen. Did you listen carefully? Now this would be, you know, this could be considered a dirty trick. Because God speaks to Moses and he says, I'm going to do these things. I have heard the voice of my people. I have seen what the slave drivers are doing to them. I am going to rescue them from the plight that they're in. Oh, by the way, Moses, did I tell you you're going to do all the work? But Moses hears the voice of God telling him that he has this calling. He's going to be the spokesperson for God. He's going to be the one who is going to go to the Pharaoh and make his case for the freeing of the slaves, the freedom of the Israelites, so that the Israelites might make their way out of the slavery of Egypt into the land flowing with milk and honey. And Moses says, you've got the wrong man. Who am I? Why would you ever ask me to do this? And God's answer is simply this. He doesn't say, well, you're the best person I have for the job. You're the right person. You happen to be here at the right time. None of those things. God says to him, I'll be with you. That's all. I'll be with you as you go in that direction. Well, it's a great story, isn't it? It's a wonderful story. It's one that we have heard time and time again over the course of our lives. But it's a story that shows us a few things that maybe we need to see. First of all, we need to see the part that gets forgotten. We get caught up in that burning bush, and it's wonderful imagery for us, and it's a great conversation piece for us, and you know, there's even a plant that's called the burning bush whose leaves turn bright red in the fall, and it's a beautiful plant. And so it that becomes the center of our story, the burning bush, the voice of God. But we miss the point where Moses is doing the ordinary. He's a shepherd. He's watching the sheep. He's trying to be a good son-in-law. He's trying to be a good husband. He's trying to be a good family man. He's trying to provide a living and fulfill his responsibilities. And it was in the midst of doing the ordinary that God called him to do something extraordinary. We can't miss that point. Because I doubt very seriously that any of us are going to have a burning bush experience in our lives. God speaks to us oftentimes in the ordinariness of what we're doing, giving us jobs to do that maybe we don't even see that we're doing them. I was with a wonderful, wonderful person and talking with her after she had met with her oncologist, and the oncologist said it was time for her to go into hospice care, that there was nothing more that he could do for her. And as she and I were sitting there having a conversation, she said to me, she said, "Steve, I just wish I had done something with my life." That just threw me. That just threw me. Because I knew that she was an extraordinary person. Not by worldly standards. She had, you know, kind of eked out a living throughout her life and lived in a very, very humble little home. But in that little home of hers, in the basement of that house, she had several racks that she kept coats and other clothing items, so that when she heard that somebody needed something, she always had them in her basement, and so she would make sure that she got them to the person who needed them. Or if there was somebody who was just coming out of the hospital after an illness or surgery or something, she had a freezer out in her garage where she kept all sorts of casseroles and meals. And so that as soon as she knew that somebody was out of the hospital, she would fill up a grocery bag with these prepared meals and took them over to that person's house so they would be able to have a nice, wholesome, hot meal without any preparation or hard work involved in it. Or if somebody needed, well, almost anything, she was the first person to volunteer to do it. When somebody new came into the church there, she was the first person who greeted them. And I'm thinking to myself, I can only hope that in my life I could do as much as she had done. You see, God calls us to do His work. It doesn't have to be a burning bush and a voice from on high. I mean, it could be in the oddest or most subtle ways. Somebody just yesterday asked me, how was it that I felt called to ministry? And my story is not very exciting. It was just, I don't know, I just kept moving in that direction, but it all started in my junior year in high school, when I was in high school the most shy person you ever met. As a matter of fact, when I was in high school, you probably would not have met me because I was so shy. But I had an English teacher by the name of Reva Kurlanchik, a wonderful woman who scared the bejeebers out of me. And she came up to me and she said, "Stephen, I have a part for you in the assembly next week and you're going to read it." Tell you the truth, I was far more afraid of Reva Kurlanchik than I was of standing before 500 people in a school auditorium. And so I read the piece that she gave to me, and I came off the stage, and she was standing there, and she stuck her finger in my face, and she said, "Young man, if you don't use that voice for God, you're wasting your gift." A good Jewish woman telling the Presbyterian preacher's kid. Now, God works in those strange and subtle ways to call us to do His work. And that work takes place every day of our lives. In the way that we treat each other, In the way that we do our work. Do we do our work in a way that people will notice that we're Christians? The way that we speak, the way that we treat others, the way that our word is our word, that if we say we'll do something, it'll be done. You see, God is calling us in the ordinariness of each of our lives. Just the same way as He talked to Moses when Moses was out doing his job as a shepherd, so He talks to us in subtle and simple ways, in ways like my friend Evelyn, in ways that maybe we don't even realize, but we respond nonetheless. God has a call for each of our lives. And that call begins with the ordinary, with our everyday existence, with the words that we speak, with the actions that we take, with the kindnesses that we offer, with the ways that our hearts are moved to do something. That's God speaking to us, to do His work, to do His will, to be His people. It's no different than the burning bush. It's just a little more subtle. But it's a call on each of our hearts and each of our lives to do His work and His will in this world today. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, who are we that You would call us to do Your work? We stand by that promise that You will be with us every step along the way. For we recognize that the good that we do is because of Your love in our hearts. Oh Heavenly Father, help us to be Your faithful workers in this world, doing Your work, following Your will in each of our lives and every day that You give to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.